We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Thursday morning, nice and early. What is it? 8:30 my time, 11:30 your time. Lewis, listen, big day. Big, big day in the world. And no, I'm not talking about April Fools. The great Lewis J. Gomez, 39 years old. 39 years on this planet. Wow.
Yeah.
What a special day.
I'm an old man, and to be honest with you, I hate my birthday. I hate my birthday. This is a dramatic way to put it. I don't like the attention. It's a big, and then you get all these text messages, and you got to text everybody back. You seem like a dick. So it's just sort of an inconvenience all day of having to text people back saying thank you. I just copy and paste the word thank you.
Yeah, no. I feel it. I'm going to raise that by one. Because I'm English, Thanksgiving Day. Everyone I know sends me thanks. And I'm like, oh, God, now I've got to respond with, yeah, appreciate you too, man. Thanks for everything you do for On Thanksgiving. And I'm English. I don't even celebrate Thanksgiving. Do you know what I mean? But still,
I didn't even know that was something that people did. That's fucking crazy.
What they do in California, because I live in California. I don't live in New York. Everyone around here in Orange County, everyone I know that I do business with or that I've known for a little bit, Mike, just want to say, really appreciate you being in my life, man. It's great. I'm just giving thanks for our relationship. And I'm like, okay. All right, now I've got to message you back something similar. But anyway, back to you. Big day. What are your plans, Lewis?
Nothing crazy. My son's here right now. He's upstairs watching Batman versus Superman, getting himself ready for Zack Snyder's Justice League.
And don't like it.
You didn't like it.
I saw a bit of it. I thought it was very infantile. I thought the animation looked like cartoons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was decent. I watched it. It was good. You know, whatever. It's a fucking superhero movie. They're supposed to fly. Do they make things explode? Do they do the things they do? Then, yeah, if they all do the things they're supposed to do, I'm pretty happy.
I just can't buy the fucking Wonder Woman character. She kills it for me. She's such a fucking badass. And they're all Amazonians, and they're all big, and they're all in shape, and they're not very inclusive. Where's all the fat ones? Guaranteed there's some fat Amazonians. It is. It's a bit of escapism. It's good. The special effects are fantastic, but they just went into a little bit anime. It looked like a cartoon as opposed to real life. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. At certain times it does that. Yeah. But so yeah, my aunt and sister and niece are about to be over here. Gonna have some lunch with the family. And then my girlfriend is coming over tonight and she's making me a keto cheesecake for my birthday, which I'm very, very excited about.
Or just don't have the cheesecake, just like the pancakes. You know what I mean? You're on a diet. You're fixated. You're crushing your goals. You've got places to be, people to see, fights to win. Maybe you want to show the world how dedicated you are and just not have the cheesecake.
Or devil's advocate, maybe...
Devil's avocado.
I can simply figure out ways to keep myself on the straight and narrow. Little tricks, little things that motivate myself. Because look, I tell you right now, that's one of the things. I do have a sweet tooth. If I didn't have those little things like the pancakes or the keto cookies that I bought, or once in a while, I'm telling you right now, it would be a way harder experience. And this time, I've been doing it for 50, or you know, it'll be 15 days before I go on this vacation. This time has been easier than other times. So I will tell you right now, those things are without a doubt helping me.
No, I totally feel you. I've got the biggest sweet tooth ever, always have. That's why I've got fake teeth. I mean, come on, let's be honest. These things were falling apart. I feel you. So the keto, okay, all right. How many pounds? Sorry, everybody. Sorry, everybody. Lewis came on. He's like, keto this, keto that.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Like,
it's your birthday. We'll talk about it. How many pounds?
I don't even know how many pounds. Maybe 9? Not that many.
Yeah, 9 pounds is great. You do look a little leaner.
Yeah, I mean, maybe 8 or 9 pounds. Nothing crazy. I've lost weight like really fast before, so that's not, but I feel better. I feel lighter. I don't know why they, whatever it is, for me personally, when I'm not eating sugar or carbs, I feel better. Like I don't get good energy from sugar or carbs. When people say like carb up before a workout, like I feel very sluggish after I eat a bunch of carbs. I don't know what that is.
You want to carb up after a workout so you recover. I mean, of course, the carbs, if you have it like a few hours before, when they're in your system, will give you energy. But yeah, typically you want that afterwards, I would say, for the recovery process.
Well, you know better than me. Either way, I just feel like a fat piece of shit whenever I'm eating, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, it does. It knocks you to sleep. I don't know the science behind it. But the problem with the keto diet, actually, though, is that it's temporary, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know what I mean? Because you eradicate all the sugar and you do lose weight. But if you stay on it for long enough, of course, you'll lose it. But it's got to be an extended period of time because it's just water weight that you drop. But it's great for a nice fix. I mean, that's what I do. Every time I've got to be on TV, I'm like, shit, kill the carbs, kill the carbs. Cut the sugar. Be miserable for a day.
Well, the water weight's in the beginning. But if you do it over the course of time, it's not water weight. You're literally burning your fat. That's the idea, is that you're burning your fat for energy just to live your life. So, and I have plenty of stored fat. So I'm good for fucking days.
You're going to be like the Energizer Bunny over there.
Yeah, dude.
All right. So today, when I saw you on Twitter this morning, and you said it was your birthday, I thought, God, here he goes. April, bloody fools. Get over it, Lewis. I did not believe you because that's what everyone's doing now. April fools all over. I mean, not now, but I'm like, am I a miserable bastard? I'm like, oh, God, grown men, news reporters reporting stupid little stories. I mean, am I a miserable bastard for not getting into this?
Did anything get you today? Did you read anything today? You're like, oh, shit, and it fucked you?
No. What was it? I saw a lot of reports. Frank Bruno said he's fighting Mike Tyson. I'm like, okay, it's April Fools. There was a few other ones out there. There was a UFC one. Who was it? Someone was fighting Nate Diaz or Conor McGregor. I'm like, oh, okay. April Fools. I get it. Right, I get it. I tell you what, though, had Darren Till, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Poor old Darren Till, our mate, of course, broke his collarbone, I think. So he's out of his fight next week with Marvin Vettori. Had he waited?
Oh, really?
Yeah, did you not know that? Yeah.
I didn't know that now.
I felt bad. I do feel bad. Feel bad for him. Poor guy. Yes. Anyway, what I'm saying is if he'd have just waited one day, I would not have believed that either. I would have said, shut up, you soft bastard. You know, get training. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm crying over there, Mike. Fuck me, mate. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
That's great. Remember, I don't know if you know the radio duo Ron and Fez, but when Fez announced that he was retiring from the radio show, he did it on April Fool's Day, but he was really retiring. So everyone thought it was just a prank and that he just never came back.
So he never got the send off that he wanted. Yeah. He expected fucking flowers, everyone, like all the radio staff in the reception cheering him as he walked off, and he got nothing. Chose the wrong day.
Maybe.
But I want to come clean, Lewis.
I was gotten this morning by one thing.
Go on.
On Nature is Metal, they posted...
Which is a great Instagram page, by the way.
I love Nature is Metal. Incredible. In fact, you pull it up, Brian. Pull up their Instagram posts. It's fucking hilarious.
I saw one this morning that had the explicit content, tap to see more.
Yeah.
I tapped it in. A little tap-tap-a-roo.
I double tapped by accident. I liked it by accident because I double tapped.
I haven't seen this. I haven't, because it never came up. I was tapping away. I'm like, I will only tap so many times before I move on. I'm like, the content can't be that good. Fuck it. Four taps. That's your lot.
Bisping,
fuck off.
Bisping, that's the prank. Is
that you
can't
motherfucker. I was. I'm dropping a deuce this morning. I'm on the throne and I'm tippy tap tapping away. I'm like, oh, fuck this post off. It can't be that good.
Dude, it's so fucking funny, dude. You literally fell for it. I fell for it as well. I ended up liking it. Hold on.
Hold on. How do we not know?
That's what it is.
It's a faulty Instagram post. Maybe they just fucked it up. You know what I mean?
Well, first of all, it goes, a grizzly bear and a gorilla square off in battle for the ages.
Pong versus...
And I read that. I'm like, what? I got to see that. I'm tapping.
It's amazing. Oh, my God. Oh, God. That's funny.
Yeah. Shout out to Nature's Metal. They're a really great Instagram where they essentially just show like pretty brutal, gruesome images from nature. Everything from like, you know, literally everywhere, like the Arctic to the jungles to swampland to
if you want to
really
start
cool.
your day by seeing some nice, innocent, fluffy, cute little Bambi-type creatures getting ripped apart by apex predators, blood everywhere, intestines, you know what I mean? Yeah, give it a shot, give it a shot. No, it is great, it is great. You know, I came to terms with a very, very nasty addiction the other day, Lewis. I've got to come clean, and this isn't an April Fool's. I'm ashamed
of pills?
Myself. Not my pill. I'm not addicted to pills, you prick.
Oh, sorry. Although,
I'd take them for a long time. I'm clean, baby boy. Fuck the surgeries. Fuck everything. Look at that.
You know you have a problem if you have to flush your stash down the toilet.
Well, no, I had to throw them away because I don't need them anymore. And if I took them, it would be for pleasure only. No. So I had a reconstructive surgery on my nose a while ago. Sorry, I'm not talking about injuries or surgeries. But anyway, but I did because I couldn't breathe through it. And when I first saw the doctor, he stuck a camera up there and he's like, how many times you broke your nose? I said, why? He said, well, because it looks like a grenade has gone off up there. Anyway, so they took some of my ribs. I've got a big scar now.
Like, thanks, doc. Great joke.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they took some of my ribs, so I have a nice little scar there. So I just tell people, and say, oh, what happened there? I was stabbed in a street fight when I was a kid. You know what I mean? It's just how I roll. I'm a badass. But they rebuilt the nose, and it's been 2 years, and I still can't breathe through it. So I've started using this a lot, right? And you're meant to do one, but like that doesn't unclear it. That's
For the audio listeners, he held up a bag of cocaine.
Yeah. Exactly. No, it's, you know, it's like a decongestion, just a nasal spray.
Afrin?
Right? Well, this is Mucinex, but I've got every type under the sun. And it came to the point where I can't go anywhere unless I have one of these. I'll be commentating the UFC. I have one in my bag. I have one in the car for the drives there because my nose still a little bit now, but I haven't used it. It's always blocked. And anyway, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm going to have to go back to the doctor. And Rebecca's like, well, there's nothing they can do. Just go see an ENT. And Lucas comes in and he's like, Dad, you're addicted to it. I'm like, what do you mean I'm addicted to it? Don't be stupid. Anyway, the little smart ass, he must have seen something on YouTube or something, and he brings up an article. And yeah, apparently your nose gets used to it if you overuse it. So now I'm going cold turkey. I'm a little blocked, but I won't do it. I'm not going to crack, Lewis. I'm strong.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, good for you, Bisping. It's one day at a time.
I'm trying, bro.
This is a very serious issue. You know, no, and listen to me, I know there's people that are out there that have real addictions.
Yes, and I'm not making light of them.
No, you're not. You're connecting with them.
I feel your pain. I'm going to do it, Lewis.
No, put it down. Put it down.
Get out of my life.
I guess almost anything like that you'd sort of get addicted to.
Chapstick. Apparently Chapstick, the brand Chapstick. I remember Kenny Florian telling me this at the Fox Studios. Apparently Chapstick has an ingredient in there. Sorry, I keep going out of focus there, leaning forward and backwards. Apparently Chapstick has an ingredient that your lips get dependent on. And it makes you crave it more. So you start putting more and more Chapstick on, which obviously results in more Chapstick fails. Sales.
Didn't they say that, and I know it's not true, but like one of those companies, like one of those water bottle companies, I think it's Dasani, it's owned by Coca-Cola. They were like, yeah, they put salt in it. So you're actually thirstier. So you drink, you need more water, the more water you drink.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. Just like back in the day, Mexican Coca-Cola had cocaine in it. You know what I mean? Get you right off your tits. I'm like, I don't know why, but I really like Coca-Cola from Mexico. When I was discussing, I put this on the group chat yesterday, and Brian came out and said, it sounds like the Kleenex conspiracy. And I don't know. The more I get to know Brian, the more I see that he's a conspiracy type. But Brian, care to explain yourself? I don't know about the Kleenex conspiracy, please.
Oh, yeah, it's... You know how
Brian looks like he's making bombs in his room.
I'm sleeping with my windows open. It's fucking freezing.
Keep it away.
Excuse me. You know how when you pull a Kleenex out of the box, it makes all that dust. There's people who think that dust is there on purpose to make you sneeze more or make your nose run more.
Again, just to sell more Kleenex. See, you can't trust anybody from the Mucinex to Kleenex.
Anything that ends with X.
To Mexican cola. See, Mexico's got an X in. You know what I mean? Ooh, wary. Beware the power
of X. Most of my exes.
I did a movie called Triple X.
Ooh.
I mean, where does this end? My God, X marks the spot.
Harrington likes anal sex.
Not surprising. Just didn't want to share it. Known about that for a while. Didn't want to share it. Anyway, this is an earlier show today. Probably won't be by the time it goes out live. Going away to Jamaica. I'm going away for a couple of days later. But we got lots of stuff to get into.
Where are you going? I know we got to get into the show, but where are you going?
Oh, I'm
big secret vacation.
It's not a vacation. I wanted to go. Kids are on spring break, right? But unfortunately, I still got obligations and work to do. But I wanted to go somewhere. I was like, should we go down to Cabo? Right? It's only a two-hour flight from here for like a long weekend or something. Should we go down to La Jolla, which is a beautiful little town near San Diego? I said, maybe we'll go up to Yosemite and I'm you know, the national park, and I'm looking at all these options. No, we're going up to Santa Monica. Going to a nice hotel in Santa Monica for two fucking days. We might as well not bother. But it's a little mental break. Go to a nice hotel.
You're going to another town.
Going to another town, not too far away. But it's on the ocean. It's a five-star hotel. We'll just sit in the hotel. We'll go for walks on the beach. We'll order room service. Have a nice, you know what I mean? Just spoil Lucas a little bit and have some fun. So that's love that. What
I just did a hotel with my son recently, just an overnight because we were doing jiu-jitsu on Friday night and Saturday morning. So just a night in a hotel rules for kids. Just like hang out, have some room service, jump up and down on the beds.
Kids love room service. I remember when I worked at the Fox studio, sometimes he'd come and stay. And the highlight of the night was milk and cookies at night from room service and stuff. And he feels like a champ, you know what I mean? So, yeah, anyway, there you go. There you go. Nothing special. Nothing special, but a little mental break. All right, let's just take a quick second to talk about Carol Bike. That's right. You've heard us talk about Carol before. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of having a brand new exercise bike delivered to my house from my friends over at Carol, who are sponsoring today's episode. Carol Bike is a stationary exercise bike, but it's powered basically by artificial technology. And I'm trying out the bike. First of all, it's very cool. It's beautiful design. The entire bike, as I said, powered by artificial intelligence, except the pedals, of course. You still have to move those by yourself. But the bike actually designs the workout based on your resistance levels. So I'm doing the workout, I'm starting to break a sweat, feeling good, and then all of a sudden the workout was over. Why is that? Well, because of the algorithms and the artificial intelligence that they have. They've designed the perfect way. So what you do is, when you first get the bike, you have 8 introductory rides, shall we say, where the computer or the brain of the machine kind of figures out how fit you are and your heart rate and all these type of things, and knows how hard to push you for the optimum fat burning zone for you to be in. So what you do is you just coast along, and then when the time's right, it tells you, it counts it down, boom, go. So you explode, you do your high intensity interval training segment, and then it adjusts the resistance all by itself and drops down. And it has been scientifically proven that that is the best way to lose weight.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, it makes it more convenient too. Getting to the gym is probably the number one deterrent for people. Traveling, traffic, if you're in a big city, getting on a subway, it's crazy, okay? This makes it so convenient. You keep it right in your house. It's nice and compact. It can fit into almost any room in your home. Really is an incredible product.
Oh, it really is. And with just 3 sessions a week, totaling only 26 minutes of exercise for 8 weeks, the Carol Bike will help you get fit, get healthy, and lose weight quickly. So get the exercise that men's health is calling, the bike of the future. Go to carolbike.com and use the code Mike. You will get $100 off your order in addition to the special deal that they're currently offering. So one more time, Carol, C-A-R-O-L, bike.com. Use that code Mike, $100 off. Yeah, have fun. There you go. Lose weight. Don't turn into Lewis. Let's go. Where were we? Massive news hit. Was it yesterday? Yesterday, Nate Diaz taking on Leon Edwards. Did not see that one. I mean, that's the big news story right now. I see that Harrington started the notes with Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor. Yeah, they're talking a bit of shit. I guess we'll get into that in a little bit, Harrington. But the big news is Leon Edwards, who, as we know, just accidentally scratched the eyeball out of Bilal Muhammad, is now fighting, not Bilal Muhammad in a rematch, fighting Nate Diaz in the co-main event. UFC 262, first 5-round co-main event. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, a lot of things there, right? A lot of things there. The first five-round co-main event. I love that. Why not, right? High-level fights. You get these guys that they should fight in a 5-rounder. They want to give a – it's really just who loses in that? Nobody. The fans completely win. It's going to be a great fight. It's going to be
probably
an incredible
Diaz.
Yeah, probably. Most likely, but maybe not. I don't know. Look, that is a obviously, you know, Leon Edwards, why he would take that fight over a Bilal Muhammad rematch. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Nate Diaz, a massive star. The surprising part is what is Nate Diaz taking the fight against Leon Edwards. You just would assume that Nate Diaz is sort of looking for that, whether it's the Conor rematch or just a title fight, or he just sort of always seems to be holding himself a little bit, you know, away from
the hoi polloi, the riffraff.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty fucking badass that Nate would go and fight Leon. I'm assuming they gave him a great deal. You know, they obviously believe in Leon. Leon's a badass. This is a really tough fight to pick. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Nate Diaz loses this fight. But this is a very, very exciting fight and extremely surprising. Nobody saw it coming.
No, I totally agree. And I will say, respect to Nate Diaz, because as you say, he is a gigantic star and he can kind of pick and choose, you know, to a certain degree who he wants to fight. He's certainly got the power to turn anything down, of course. But he was after, you know, title fights, big fights, trilogies with McGregor, stuff like that. Yeah, to your point, I didn't expect him to take on a super dangerous guy like Leon Edwards. Now, of course, there's a lot to gain. If he goes out there and beats Leon Edwards, for sure he's getting a title fight next. Mm-hmm. That's a guarantee. So that's a little cherry on the cake for Nate Diaz. That's the risk reward. That's why he would do that. It's a fucking awesome fight. But Leon Edwards is probably going to have a very, very fun night at the office. I would have thought. I'm not saying Nate can't beat him, but you know. Look at Nate when he went up and fought guys like Rory McDonald, you know, big guys at 170, true 170 pounders with clinical striking. I would make comparisons between Rory McDonald and Leon Edwards, just stylistically, the way they fight, their skill sets, how skilled they are, and their stature and their physical frame. You know what I mean? And look at what happened with Rory McDonald and Nate Diaz. Now,
well, Rory out-wrestled him. It was that was sort of the big factor there. He didn't, did he really outstrike him?
He out MMA'd him.
He had everything.
He out everything him. You know, he did out wrestling, but he straight his boxing was on fire. He looked sensational in that fight. Leon Edwards can wrestle as well. You know, he takes down a lot of people. So listen, I'm not saying Nate can't win this fight. Definitely not. Of course, Nate can win this fight. And I think the fact that it's a five rounder actually plays massively into Nate's advantage, because I'm not saying Leon can't go five rounds. Of course he can. You know, but Nate Diaz is a triathlete. He's one of those guys that's super tough. It's not often you see Nate Diaz finished. I mean, Josh Thompson was one. So any other finishes other than, has he been finished before? Harrington, anyone?
Josh Thompson
knocked him out with a head kick. Who else? There's a couple of submissions, I'm sure. Harrington, what you found online?
Well, I mean, we have the Masvidal injury.
Yeah, yeah. TKO, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was it. He got submitted once in WEC.
Okay. Yes, for Nate Diaz, the strategy is not weather an early storm, because Leon Edwards isn't going to go out there in a blaze of glory, you know what I mean? But it's definitely going to, the earlier rounds are probably going to favor Leon, and Nate's tough as fuck, and then he'll probably start taking over. Maybe, I would assume this is how it may go down. If you're Nate Diaz, in his mind, you know, he'll take over in the later rounds. So I think that favors Diaz the fight. Not favors. I don't mean, I'm just saying it's good for Diaz that it's five rounds as opposed to three. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm looking up right now Nate Diaz's record and who his last fight, because he's been fighting at most of his fights at 155. When's the last time he fought at 170?
Who, Diaz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably Masvidal. His last fight. Was that his last fight?
Was that
last three fights were 170. It was the two Conor fights, Masvidal.
And then that's right, Masvidal.
The last four fights were at 170, but they were all against 155ers.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that he fights is somebody that was 155 pounds that came up to 170. So,
and when he has fought real 170s back, like Rory McDonald, for example, he came back down to 155. And that's no disrespect. It's just there's weight classes for a reason. Now he's up at 170 again. And I love this matchup. And I think it's a gangster move by Nate Diaz. I really do. And I wish him and Leon Edwards the best. I think it's a tremendous main event. I see a lot of buzz on social media, people saying that this is now the people's main event. Maybe that's why they made it five rounds. Because
what's the main event over this?
Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira for the lightweight title, right? Mm. And whilst that's a very, very good fight, technically, and Oliveira is definitely the right man for the title fight, Michael Chandler has a case as well. Neither guys are the biggest stars in the promotion, if you know what I'm saying. So Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards, boom, that's a great fight.
Yeah, the people's main event. I understand why they're saying that. you know, a little disrespectful to the 155-pound title.
I didn't say that. I'm saying that's what I'm seeing people
say.
No,
I know. I understand. Yeah. It's but look, honestly, to be honest with you, Oliveira versus Chandler, I'm crazy excited for that fight as well. So that's a crazy fight. That fight is absolutely savage. I just think that there's a little bit of steam coming off of the fight or taken off of the fight because it's not necessarily truly. Look, Dustin Poirier is
really what? What are you talking about here? Diaz on the main.
No, the main event. I think it's not true. You know, it's not. I think Dustin Poirier is the champion in the division. He's the uncrowned 155-pound champion. So the fact that he's not in the title fight is crazy. And I'm not saying that it should be against Conor. I just think that Dustin Poirier should be fighting for that title.
But from what my sources tell me, they offered the title fight to Dustin.
And he said no, he wanted the Conor fight.
Which again, maybe he's the uncrowned champ because there is no crown champ. There isn't. Well, tough shit, because after UFC 262, there will be. And whoever wins between Diaz and, McGregor and Dustin will get that shot. So, you know, he did the right thing there. But this is what Harrington starts the notes with. It's a back and forth. It's a beef between McGregor and Nate Diaz. Harrington, come on. Is this the biggest news this week? Really? Really them beefing on Twitter? Not Leon Edwards versus Diaz, which wasn't even in the fucking notes.
No. It 100% was.
Well, you started the notes with McGregor versus Diaz on Twitter. Having a little tittle-tattle. Please talk me through it.
Okay, so the reason I put that there was just for the spacing of it. I wanted to give that its own section at the top because I really wanted to see if you guys could do a BYM theater where one of you guys plays Diaz, the other one plays McGregor, and go back and forth. You did that for, I think it was Jones versus Izzy at one point. It was pretty funny. I just thought.
Who do you want to be? I'll be McGregor.
I'll be Diaz.
But I can only do a Northern Ireland accent. I can't do a Southern Ireland.
Do we have the scripts?
But hold on, but give some context as to what was going on here, Harrington. For the listener, before we butcher it and nobody has a clue about the story, just say what was going on.
Okay, so McGregor came out and said he wanted his own belt for the fight against Dustin Poirier. He said, you know, he had visions on the design, you know, some certain jewels that could be used. So he was going to call Dana and figure that out, which led to Nate Diaz being a little bit unhappy, kind of making fun of him, clowning on the concept of, a fan chimed in and said, hey, remember when they did that for Nate? To which McGregor piled on and said, oh, yeah, he couldn't even win his own thing. And these two get into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, at that point, McGregor went, isn't that crazy? Who's the real bad motherfucker anyway? See, I can't do a fucking Irish accent like that. Went up 2 weight divisions on a week's notice. Yeah. Ha ha ha. To fighting for the fight. No hesitation. Straight into my jet. I can't fucking do a McGregor one. I could do a Northern Irish accent. I'm through the side door. Surprise, surprise. The king is back.
Who went up 2 weight classes in half a day? Notice, no hesitation. And not promotion about it. Just did it because I ain't no bitch. How's that, Connor? Fuck you. Whatever you think you did, already been done by a real G. Try not to get finished again.
What, in the Facebook prelims? Who the fuck is Rory Markham at 177? Don't worry on my next fight, bro. You and your face know what I'm like when I go again.
Don't forget Dustin fucked you up, but he's scared of me. You're both some bitches, and I slapped Kebab. He was scared with no counter, and he owned you. So who's the real king? Me, bitch. That's who. King Nate Dogg.
I forget nothing, bro. And you'll see that soon enough, and you'll talk to me about a little slap in a scuffle. I had them all trapped thinking they were dead. You're the king of nothing. You couldn't even win your own belt they made for you, let alone any other, you wee fucking bum, you.
You suck.
Yeah, on big titties. Fucking, that was awful. Awful.
That's
awful.
Great. What is he talking about?
That he sucks on big tits.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's awful. Yes.
No, awful. This is awful. I apologize.
No, everything's awful.
It's so bad. So bad. Yeah, I apologize. Okay. We're off the
I think
rails.
They liked it. I think they liked it.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I definitely can't do a Leon, Conor McGregor. But anyway, there you go. There you go. Them two getting into shit about it. What do you think of that, Lewis? Going back and forth. Why do you think that is?
They just don't like each other. I mean, are they angling? I mean, they're going to fight again one day, right? One day that's going to happen down the line.
Well, here's what happens. If Conor loses to Dustin and Nate loses to Leon, then yeah, they'll fight. If Conor wins, he's going to fight for the lightweight belt. And Diaz is at 170. You know what I mean? So if Conor wins this fight with Dustin, I can't see them really, unless Nate goes down to 155. If Conor wins, we're not going to see the Diaz fight for quite some time.
No disrespect to Nate or Conor. I don't think either one of them are ever going to hold a belt again. So I think that those two are going to just sort of, they're going to be floating around barking at each other until they eventually get matched up. It's going to happen one day, right? And it's a huge, massive money fight that probably, honestly, they should both wait until they're ready to retire to do that fight, because it'll be a huge, huge fight to go out on. But yeah, I don't think that either one of them is, it's not like, I don't think Conor's going to go and win the title. I don't think he's going to even beat Dustin, much less go and win the title. So, and once again, I don't think Nate's going to have a real hard time winning the 170-pound title.
I think he's going to have a tough time beating Leon Edwards. You know, and I'm not hating on Nate Diaz. I respect him for what he's done, for stepping up and taking that fight. I mean, he's got great boxing. He's got great conditioning on the floor. We know he's got excellent jiu-jitsu. But Leon's he's just a bigger dude. He's more muscled. He's probably more technical. Well, he is more technical in the stand-up. He's got more pop. He can wrestle. He's just, you know, there's weight classes. It's a tough fight. It's not out of the realm of possibility, of course, for Nate Diaz to win that. He does hit hard. You know, he wobbled McGregor with that right hand in that second round. That became the beginning of the end, if you will, for McGregor in that first fight. So he can hit, he can crack, and he's got balls. And when you like that and you got skills, anything is possible, right?
Yeah.
If you conceive, believe, achieve.
That's it. You visualize it, Nate. All you got to do. That's not an insurmountable hill. Nate can do it.
Oh, no, he can't.
And I'll be rooting for Nate.
Yeah, good for you. I'll be rooting for the best man. May the best man win. You know, because I'll talk
for you.
No. Listen, fucking, I don't know if this is true. Maybe someone can look this up. But someone sent me a fucking link on Instagram. And it was Leon Edwards on the Joe Rogan podcast. And Leon was going on saying, apparently this is what the little shitster on Instagram said. Leon saying here that he's going to be the first UK champ to win the belt and stay in England. And I'm like, ooh, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know if he did say that. That's what someone on Instagram, because I clicked the link and it was the entire 2-hour fucking episode. I'm like, it doesn't matter to me that much to sit here and sit through that whilst I'm taking a dump. That's a long dump. My wife is going to start asking questions.
All right, Mike, really quick, let's take a moment and thank Hemp Fusion for supporting today's show. Let me tell you something. Everyone, we've been talking about CBD for as long as we've been doing the show, essentially. Go do a little research. CBD can probably help you, but Hemp Fusion makes some incredible products, and their sleep support blend is probably one of the coolest things that they offer, okay? It blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omegas, plus GABA, plus black pepper and clove oil. Together, they unleash the entourage effect, working together to deliver powerful benefits that equal well-rounded sleep support.
Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, listen, I sleep like a baby every single night, but I'm stressed out to the max. Well, guess what? They got the stress support blended with ashwagandha and lots of other things. Maybe you're like my wife. You have a hard time getting going in the morning. Maybe you're just lazy. The energy one has got all kinds of fine natural products, which is the key, all natural. A lot of other companies pretend to be all natural. I'm not sure that they are. Hemp Fusion 100% is all natural. No GM. GMOs, no hormones, no chemicals, no crap, and it's the best quality CBD that you can get hold of. That's the good part. And now I'm going to tell you an even better part. All you got to do is go to hempfusion.com, check out their website, all kinds of CBD and wellness products on there. Even got some anti-aging cream, which they sent me, which is very useful for my wife because, you know, the clock's ticking, let's be honest. So go to hempfusion.com, use the code COUNT. You will get 25% off their high-quality CBD products. Once more, hempfusion.com, that code is COUNT, 25% off and free shipping. Okay, where were we? Incidentally, the UFC just signed another UK guy, Paddy the Baddy Pimblett. A lot of hype out of England. And here's another guy that I remember. He's on my radar because a few years ago, he was talking shit in an interview saying, fucking Mike, fucking won the belt and fucked off to America. He's not one of us, you know.
You remember it. Bisping's had a fucking memory like a dog.
Wait, that's like an elephant. Just edit that bit out, Brian. Hold on.
Bisping has got a... I can't even say it again.
No, that's a horse. That's a horse. One more time. Anyway.
All right, edit it all out. Once again, 3, 2, 1. Bisping has got a memory like an elephant. Wow.
Never forget.
Never forget. What's this guy's name? Paddy the Baddy?
No, Paddy Pimblett. He's really good. He's really, really fucking good. So it's going to be interesting to see him there. I don't take offense to stuff like that. They're just trying to sell themselves. Good for
what
them.
What weight class?
55 or 45. I think it's 45. I'm not sure. But he's got a lot of hype. He's a lot of people talking about him in England. People of the UK, BT Sport, they're all really, really excited. So, yeah, well done. Well done on the contract, buddy, and all the best. I'm still devastated for Darren Till. He was going to join us today. Mm. I messaged him because I felt bad. Because, you know, like me and Darren are always busting each other's balls on Twitter.
Of course.
And, he's talking shit. And then he said the other day, he's like, Mike, why are you taking all the jobs in the UFC? You've got enough money, you greedy cunt, or something like that. And then I said something and he came back. I said, oh, well done to somebody. He said, yeah, why don't you cheer me on? So I came back. I went, I will cheer you on when you win a fight. Just a little joke. Of course, everyone knows he lost his last one. But razor close split decision to Robert Whittaker. Some may say he would win. It's a joke. It's a joke. And then my wife went, Michael, you overstepped the mark a bit there. That's a bit mean. I'm like, and then I start feeling bad. Right? Then I start, I'm like, shit, I hope
you didn't,
I didn't
delete it. No, I didn't delete it.
But then I'm driving home. I'm driving home from Ruka on Tuesday, I think it was. And I'm stuck in traffic. So I glance down at my phone. Apologies. And I see on a statement about Darren Till breaking his collarbone. So I text the head of production at the UFC real quick. I said, is this true? So, yep, he's out of the fight. So
then I,
then I felt really bad. You know what I'm saying? Because, Darren, so I text him. I said, hey, Darren, any chance you could join us on the show? And he said, I wasn't going to speak to any media, but fuck it, I'll do it. But I said, no pressure, because come on, think about that. Big fight next week on ABC. If you'd have beaten Marvin Vettori, there would have been a title shot on the line. And to answer your question, Lewis, training. I don't know any details, but I think from what I'm hearing, he's broke his collarbone. That's nasty.
Yeah, that fucking sucks, dude. Yeah, Darren's a beast, and for sure was going to get a title fight if he was able to beat Vettori. That just blows. I don't know. I mean, there's no other way around it. He's got to recover from it, come back.
Yeah, he's okay.
Have you ever dealt with that, getting an injury like right before a fight?
Right before? Oh, yeah, many times. Georges St-Pierre fucking...
Well, something that actually took you out of the fight.
Tore my car. Well, it would have taken a normal man out of the fight. Tore my cartilage. It fucking would have. In a world title fight against Georges St-Pierre, anyone else would have said, I'm out. We'll reschedule this bitch. But I was like, I am also nearly out with one fucking eye and bad ribs and I can hardly walk. I'm like, I'm taking that money. There's no fucking way. I am not taking that cash. So I went in there and got my ass kicked. When I fought on the Ultimate Fighter 3 finale, Georges St-Pierre again, I was training with him and I tore my posterior cruciate ligament a few days before the fight. But I still took it like the champ I am and I still won the fight. You know what I mean?
Wow. So you're saying, it's not even like, look, you got a lot of respect for Darren Till and he's a warrior. We all believe that. But you're just saying you still would be fighting next weekend if it was you.
I didn't break my collarbone, bro. You know what I mean? That's bad. No, I wouldn't be. A broken collarbone, there's no way you can fight with a broken collarbone. No way. Absolutely no way. So rest up, Darren. But you know who stepped in? Well, I don't know if it's official, but you know who raised his hand?
Who?
Who do you think? Who do you think is likely to step in on a week's notice to fight Marvin Vettori? And you got to admire this guy's balls. And I don't know if the UFC have accepted it yet. I don't know if it's official, but who do you think?
Give me, don't tell me, but give me a multiple choice. Give me a multiple choice.
Oh, fucking multiple choice. Okay. Derek Brunson.
Okay.
trying to think of some fucking middleweight.
Think of, you should have thought of, I know it's not Derek Brunson now.
Well, maybe it is.
Harrington, no, Harrington, you give me a multiple choice because you're not having to talk and be charming at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't got the fucking rankings in front of me right now. By the way, sometimes when I misspeak, it's because I'm doing a show and I don't have the facts and Harrington has to look through my fucking computer. Okay. Yeah. My computer, I'm looking at and talking. I'm going to say Derek Brunson, Marvin Vittori. No, he's fighting Marvin Vittori. Edna Shabazian, Derek Brunson, Kevin Holland, and what's one more, Harrington?
Jack Hermanson.
Jack Hermanson. Which one of those four?
I mean, even if I didn't know who it was, I would be able to tell just by your, number one, your bad acting, and number two, just from the context clues from what you said. So you said Derek Brunson first. You paused on it. You stuttered on it. This, that, the other. Who is the second guy you said?
Edmund Shabazian.
Shabazian, that wouldn't be a like, oh my God, holy shit. Like, who do you think stepped up? Who do you,
whoa,
like,
whoa, the, whoa, whoa, whoa. One then, to Derek Brunson. You know what I mean? The kid was undefeated. He's
but it's fight. Not it's not a story that he's stepping up short notice. And then you throw out Kevin Holland. And I'm like, ooh. And then I see you look down and then look up and you kind of shuffle in your chair. I was like, well, that seems like that's the answer. And then the last one you said, Harrington, give me one more. So I know this isn't it. So just based off of my powers of deduction, I'm going to say Kevin Holland.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Big Mouth himself. So when Vittori, not sorry, pardon me, Darren Till dropped out, apparently straight away he was on Twitter, volunteered his services. And again, you got to respect that. You got to respect that big time. Harrington, can you just look up while we talk if that has been confirmed?
I hope it is. Good for Kevin.
Well, it's great for Kevin. But let's remember his last fight, you know, his last fight against, who did he fight? Oh, Brunson. His last fight against Derek Brunson. It you know, he got beat and people were a little frustrated with him because it didn't seem like he was giving it his all. So I don't know. Will that hurt him? Will that hurt him against the matchup?
It's a different style because I don't think that Vittori is going to take him down over and over again and you know, get on top of him. I think these guys are going to come out and bang. And, you know, look, I don't know, but I feel like Kevin Holland, he has that length. He's got that, you know, can probably, you know, have a much more competitive fight, in my opinion, against Marvin Vittori. I'm not even saying that Brunson's better than Vittori. I'm just saying stylistically.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a really good point as well. You know, stylistically, that would be a fun matchup. You know, Vittori's not going to be trying to take him down. Harrington says no update confirming right now. Yeah, no, stylistically, fun fight because Vittori's going to go out there and stand and bang. He's going to crack. I think he would have tried to sprinkle in a few takedowns against Darren Till. Probably not the smartest move anyway. Darren's got great takedown defense and can get back up really well. But still, it's mixed martial arts. But yeah, Brunson versus Holland. What am I saying? Holland versus Vittori. Yeah, there's a good possibility of that being made, but as I say, I don't know. I don't know the facts.
I hope it does happen, and I really like Kevin Holland. Disappointing performance against Derek Brunson, so this will be a good chance to quickly redeem himself and honestly, you know, put himself in a really good position. I mean, that erases it. Just, dude, MMA fans are fair weather. That erases that loss, and you're going against a high profile opponent who was on the cusp of a title shot himself. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. One, you know, it's a case of, unfortunately, mixed martial arts. And what have you done for me lately? You're only as good as your last fight, you know, so all he's got to do is go out there, not even beat Marvin Vittori, just have a good fight, have a good performance, show that he truly wants to win and make some corrections from his last performance, which annoyed a few people, you know. So it's a good opportunity. Remember, he got out of that Derek Brunson fight with not much damage. Yeah, he lost the fight, but he was controlled a lot on the ground. Didn't really take damage, no injuries. Yeah, respect, man. I respect the balls on Kevin Holland for sure. You have to. Anderson Silva, you see this, Lewis?
I did. He's making his pro boxing debut against Julio Cesar Chavez. Am I correct?
Yeah, Chavez has a record of 52-5-1. I'm not sure of his age, Harrington. Just look up his age. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Did you see that? I said Julio Cesar Chavez, and Harrington in the chat wrote Jr.
Yeah, no, they are two different people.
Yeah, I initially looked up Julio Cesar Chavez, and I'm like, why is Anderson Silva fighting a 60-year-old man? This is insane. Okay, and I was fine. Like, oh, okay, it's Junior. He's 35.
Yeah, but this is a tough fight. Just look up his age of Junior because
35.
He went the distance. Oh, sorry, you said, yeah. You know, he went the distance with Canelo. When was that, 2017? You know, and Canelo, as we know, one of the pound-for-pound best boxers in the world. So that's it's not an easy fight for Anderson Silva. In fact, Harrington, just look at the height and length. The reach, pardon me, of Chavez Jr., because that'll play into a big factor. Now, of course, as we know, Anderson just got knocked out against Uriah Hall. He's definitely, you know, with respect, because, you know, you got to respect Anderson, but he's diminished over the years. You know, at one point he was unbeatable. I don't know how many fights he lost, but he lost a few. Chavez Jr. coming in at 6 feet tall, with a 73-inch reach. Okay, so Anderson is going to be 2 inches taller with probably a 4 or 5 inch reach advantage. So stylistic, height-wise and reach-wise, it plays into Anderson Silva. But boxing-wise, Chavez Jr. is definitely going to have an advantage.
Can we see, while we're talking about it, can we just see some Chavez Jr. highlights? Because I'm not really familiar with him that much, and maybe some of the fans aren't as well. But yeah, look, it's a theme right now happening, right? MMA fighters going over to boxing, fighting high-profile boxing fights. Obviously, we're watching it happen with Ben Askren, watching it happen with Frank Mir. And it's been happening here and there. You know, I don't think this is good for Anderson. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like it was when Anderson was on top. Remember, he was talking about fighting Roy Jones Jr. And that was an over the hill retired, or I guess Roy Jones Jr. wasn't actually retired at the time, but he was like well past his prime, at the time.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Nice combinations there, good uppercuts. I mean, it's clearly against a smaller guy than Anderson. Who's this against? Who's that opponent there? Is this just a highlight package on YouTube? I mean, yeah, listen, Chavez Jr. has been around forever. You know, he's a very, very good fighter. As I say, went the fucking distance with Canelo. That is not easy to do. Anderson Silva, he talked about it, as you said, for a long time, fighting a boxing match. I think this is a better matchup for him than Roy Jones Jr., even though Roy Jones is, you know, older as well. You know, that's just the way it happens. But he was a champion at heavyweight as well, multiple weight division champion. Then there was Rampage Jackson talking about fighting Roy Jones. And so now they've settled on Cesar Chavez. I mean, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about fighters? What is Anderson now, 44, 45, maybe even a bit older, taking on boxers?
I think he's going to lose. And I think it sucks that his career is sort of ending on just multiple lowlights. You know, it's not like, you know, it's like losing is one thing. Even like sort of the changing of the guard, like him losing to what's his name? He just lost to
Uriah Hall.
You go like, okay, like there's something to that. It's like, you know, it's a changing of the guard. I mean, even the Uriah Hall's a little bit old school now at this point too, to be honest with you. But Anderson Silva, him losing in MMA, you know, him sort of having the steroid shit when he got suspended for that, then going in and losing in boxing. I just think it's just sort of like, I don't know. It just, I'm a fan of Anderson Silva, so it's just, it's not really what I want to see for him.
What you're saying is he's tarnishing his legacy, which is true. You can't deny that. And unfortunately, because the sport of mixed martial arts is only getting bigger and bigger all the time, there's a lot of new fans, you know, and any new fans that weren't watching MMA back in the day when Anderson was on top, I strongly advise you to go away and look at his highlights and watch his old fights, because he was an absolute wizard inside there. He was incredible. He inspired me for sure. But as you say, yeah, it's never nice to see fighters doing that. I'm assuming he still has that competitive urge. That's why he does it. You know, Anderson Silva, I don't know how much money he's made, but I'm going to hazard a guess that it's a lot. You know, he was on a lot of money for a long time. I remember his last fight against Uriah Hall at the post-fight press conference. Dana said, if you guys knew how much we paid Anderson Silva tonight, you'd shit the bed or something like that. You know, so he's got good money. You know, he's probably financially secure, but the man loves to compete. You know, so I do respect that as well. You know, the man loves to compete. I don't think he's doing it for money. He always wanted to fight a high-profile boxing match. Yes, of course, the timing isn't on his side. The skills diminishing, the reflexes diminishing. That's the main thing. The ability to take a shot. You know, Uriah Hall, no disrespect to him, wouldn't have knocked out Anderson Silva a few years ago. You know what I'm saying? So there's that to consider as well. And of course, in boxing, you know, it's you take more blows to the head. So I hope they have a great fight. I hope they make a ton of money, and I hope nobody gets hurt, and I wish him all the best.
Good for Anderson. I mean, yeah, if you want to compete as well, like, you know, more power to him. I think it's great, you know, good for him, but it's just sort of like, I just don't think it's going to end well. I think he's going to lose the fight. But,
probably. Yeah, more than, let's be honest, more than likely.
it's a little different, right? Like Frank Mir is it genuinely seems like he's just testing himself against, who's he fighting again? Sorry,
I have no idea. I forget now.
But it's a pretty big name.
Tony Tarver.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Frank Mir, it's a little different because he's a jiu-jitsu guy who's like testing himself. He's like, you know, it for some reason, it doesn't have the same sort of feeling with Anderson, where like I'm expecting Frank to lose as well, but I don't think that tarnishes Frank's legacy the same way that Anderson's.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is for Anderson, you know, he was always the complete package. He was an excellent Muay Thai specialist and then incorporated other styles of martial arts. There was a lot of talk of Filipino boxing. Filipino boxing isn't going to help him in real Western boxing. I'm just throwing that fucking out there. Doing all this shit, you're going to get clocked. But it was always the well-rounded threat from Anderson that made him so successful, because he'd stand there and he'd move his arms around and fuck around and stuff. You didn't know what was going to come. Was it going to be a punch? What angle was that punch going to come from? Was it a kick? Was it a low kick? Was it a head kick? Was it a flying knee? Do you know what I mean? You'd taken away a lot of his best weapons. And Anderson, of course, you know, he dropped Forrest Griffin with a jab and he's knocked out many people. So he has power, you know, but he wasn't the biggest puncher. I'm assuming Chavez Jr. is going to come in here and probably the heavier hands, you know, and the way more boxing experience. And all you got to do is back him up into the corner of the ring, you know. You can't do that in an octagon. If he can place Anderson in the corner of a ring, don't let him out of there, take away his reach advantage, and then just piece him up in the corner. You know, that would be the route to victory for Chavez Jr. But, you know, it's Anderson Silva we're talking about, so you can never, never write him off.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Well, yeah. Good. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. What else is going on in the notes?
What is this about Khabib? Tony continues to take shots at Khabib. Tony takes shots at Khabib and Khabib tell Tony to focus on his own work. Harrington, please come on. Show yourself. Show yourself and please explain this, because the people don't know and I don't want to click link and read. You have computer in front of you. Please read. Tell people.
Okay, so Tony Ferguson hopped on, showed like a video of those two squaring off at some point throughout the year as one of their canceled bouts. He said, quote unquote, tiramisu onto football, hashtag you'll see me soon enough, hashtag champ shit only, and then all the Tony emojis. To which Khabib responded, you have a fight soon. Your opponent is very tough and most underestimated in lightweight division. Focus on him. I wish you and your family best, even though you look like a shit.
That is the best way of telling someone to go fuck themselves without telling them to go fuck themselves. Just be all polite. By the way, before we continue with that, who's he fighting again? Who's Ferguson fighting? Harrington. He's gone. He's ran off.
Beneil Dariush.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That is a tough fight. I mean, listen, Tony, I don't know what he's doing. He can't get the fight with Khabib. Khabib's ship has sailed. He's gone. He's retired. He's the greatest of all time, right? Tony.
And he should be thanking his lucky stars.
Come on, what?
Tony should be thanking his lucky stars that Khabib's gone. Khabib looks unfucking beatable. Tony should be going, okay, cool. Now Khabib's gone. Everything's a little bit more even in this division. There's a path here to becoming the world champion.
Yeah, but how many has Tony lost now in a row? Is it just two? Just two, right? Just Gaethje and then against Charles Oliveira. Is that true? I think that's true, right? Yeah, he got beat off Gaethje. Or is it three?
No, it's just the two. Yeah.
All right, okay. So he can still rebound. But as we know, Tony takes a lot of damage in his fights against Beneil Dariush. That is a tough fight, stylistically, a very, very tough fight. I don't know. I mean, I guess when you're matched up with somebody, what, four or five times, you know, you got a lot of history with that guy and you probably wanted to fight him big time. As fighters, you always believe that you're going to win, you know, so he's annoyed that he never got to do that. But yeah, to your point, Khabib probably would have gone out there and won the fight. I mean, look what Charles Oliveira did, let's be honest.
Yeah, more than likely. So yeah, there's no reason to talk shit. I mean, unless he just genuinely doesn't like him. But I mean, is it really personal like that with Khabib and Tony?
I mean, a lot of fighters get like that, don't they? But then when they're away from one another, you know, and they're not fighting, I don't know. Like, look at me and GSP. We talked a lot of shit, but, you know, we're good now. He came on the podcast, you know what I'm saying? So, I can't see why it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why would they have a beef? Like, I mean, I guess you have to sort of, Tony does seem probably like the type of person that would have to get himself to not like the other person a little bit. Like, did you ever have to do that? Did you have to like psych yourself up a little bit and like get yourself to actually like have disdain for the person? We've talked sort of about people you've liked in the past that you fought and not having any sort of real animosity. But in your fights, did you sort of find yourself having to like psychologically get yourself to a place where you would want to hurt them?
I would love to say yes, I had to psych myself out to do that, but no, it was just natural. I'm like,
love hurting
no,
people.
I'm like, honest, I swear to God, and I think a lot of fighters are like this, like, we're going to fight. I'm like, what? You fucking, and I had that in my mind, it was real. I'm like, you fucking motherfucker wants to fight. Okay, we're going to fucking fight. You're trying to fucking, in the words of Nate Diaz, you're trying to take everything I word for, bitch. You know, but it's true. You're trying
to take. So similarly to how somebody, if somebody were to talk shit at a bar, you have a moment where you're like, okay, what's up? Like, let's go. You're about to fight this guy. And that's the way you felt about your opponent.
This is now my enemy. This is my sworn enemy. This is the guy that's fueling me to get out of bed. This is the guy that's making me go for runs. This is the guy that's making me eat shitty fucking keto cheesecake that I shouldn't probably fucking eat, right?
He's trying to take half your money.
Trying to take half my money. Yeah, trying to take away my belt or my title shot or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So they become the sworn enemy. So I don't have to fucking sit there at night going, gotta psych myself up. No, if I see that motherfucker in the street, I'm taking a bat to his face. No, of course. But that isn't the right way. I mean, I've talked about it a lot towards the end. Perillo had me cool, calm, and collected like an Anderson Silva. Just flowing, loosey-goosey. You know what I mean? That's the best way to be. All right, let's hear from one of our sponsors, IP Vanish. We are welcoming them back to today's show. IP Vanish have been a long-time sponsor of ours, so it's great to have them back. So let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IP Vanish VPN. What is VPN? It is a virtual private network. And this one is rated 4.5 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. IP Vanish provides encrypted connections for all your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers from intercepting your data. And it's very, very important in this day and age. Of course, you don't want people hacking into your bank account, hacking into your Instagram. You know, people are always trying to do that, trying to get into all your little, I don't know what clubs you're a member of, what things you're logged into on your internet. But these people, it's very, very simple in this day and age with a virtual private network. It's way more difficult, if not impossible, Lewis.
It's funny you say that. You're like, oh, I don't know what you belong to and what clubs you belong to. Good. And I want to keep it that way. I don't want Michael Bisping to know. I don't want hackers to know. I don't want the government to know. I want everyone to get out of my business. And this is a great way to do it. There's also certain websites. If you ever noticed, Bisping, you've been traveling and you're like, wait, I can't get into certain websites. If you're using a VPN, a lot of the time you can.
Yeah. Also, if you ever go to Fight Island, there's no porn on Abu Dhabi, okay? VPN, baby. Cruise away. Fucking browse away. Fill your boots. Go crazy. IP Vanish. If, I'm telling you, that's not all they do. They do many, many other things. They will protect your bank data, your personal data, et cetera, et cetera. But that's just another little fringe benefit, Lewis.
Now, listen to me. You want to try this out. Anybody who knows about using the internet uses a VPN, and you can help keep your financial details, personal information, and online activity safe from threats with IP Vanish. And right now, you can get started with this limited time offer. Save 50% off monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/believe, all lowercase. Save 50% on monthly and annual subscriptions. Okay, where were we? All right, before we move on, we should tell everyone you can go subscribe to the show directly, really anywhere you can get a podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, etc. If you're on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We love the positive comments and the positive feedback. It does mean a lot to us. You can also subscribe directly to our YouTube channel. If you do that, make sure you hit the notification button. You get a notification every time a brand new episode drops live. We have brand new episodes every Monday and Thursday nights, right around midnight Eastern, typically. And if you guys want access to the complete on-demand library, every episode of the show that we've ever done, both ad-free and uncensored, all in one place, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. You get access to the complete on-demand library. Plus, we're doing a special promo this month, Bisping. One subscriber at the end of April. One subscriber, whether they've subscribed in the past or they're subscribing now, we're doing a drawing and we're giving away a PS5.
Oh my God, the levels of professionalism and the free giveaways, the gifts. You're making too much money over there. That's I've got a little announcement of my own. So you see these guys, Violent Gentlemen, other side, Violent Gentlemen, good friend of mine, runs this company, founded the company. They're handling the BYM merch. I talked about it for a long time. I had a good meeting the other day. They've done designs. The quality is going to be fantastic, just like these shirts here. They're going to send them out international. They're doing fucking everything, Lewis. We don't need to do shit.
I love
other
it.
Than, you know, just tell people the shirts. They'll be made soon. We'll give you a little model. You know, we'll wear them on the show, but keep an eye out for that real oh, yeah. soon. All right.
Also, real Thursday? Quick, I should just say real quick, I'm going to be down in Florida next month, April 15th through 18th, Boca Raton, Tampa, and Port St. Lucie. So come check me out.
Well, I should say real quick that I'm going to be in Santa Monica. I'm going to be in Santa Monica later. And next week I'll be in Vegas calling the ABC. What you got, Lewis?
Tickets at lewisofskanks.com. I'll also be in Vegas as well. Coming up Cleveland, many more cities and touring and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Truly international. I mean, look at this guy.
You know,
where is the Lewis J. Gorman? 39 years old, you see. You're 39 years young. It's Thursday, Harrington. There's lots more MMA news stories for us to cover, so let's do it. Throw it at us in a quick hittery style or whatever you want to call it, but the floor is yours for the moment. Please treat it with the respect that it deserves.
All right, well, I'm not going to waste any of your time then, guys. Let's get to the biggest story first. Joe Rogan is being called out for being transphobic by MMA fighter Fallon Fox. The quote is, Joe Rogan is transphobic yet again. He's had more transphobic episodes you can shake a stick at. Spotify needs to cancel his show already. It's in reaction to this comment. Gentlemen, there are people who really have these thoughts. The problem is it becomes protected subject. Then you get praised for transferring your gender, for changing your gender. And then it gets exciting for people to talk about. Then you get chastised for even discussing it in any weird way. People who are marginalized for being like generally dumb people, if they transfer over and become another gender, then they get praised. There are a lot of people who are idiots, but then they become trans. Now, all of a sudden, we think they are amazing.
Mm. So what did Fallon Fox say? What was her quote on this?
That was the first thing that I read. Joe Rogan is being transphobic. He has had more transphobic episodes than you can take a stick at. Spotify canceled.
I mean, look, it's such a, he's right about that. It's a protected subject. You have to, you know, tread lightly on this subject, but it's, you know, the Fallon Fox, like, forget everything else. Forget the political side of it and forget the, you know, how you feel about transgender people. We can all agree that Fallon Fox should not have been fighting women in MMA. That's absolutely crazy. And Joe Rogan was one of the only people who had the balls to fucking come out and say it. And now she hates him. And look, I get from your perspective, it was great while you were cracking women's skulls open because you had an unfair advantage. But the reality is, like, no, it wasn't fair and it wasn't right. And I think Joe was right to come out and actually say something. And he got into a lot of fucking shit. And a lot of people, you know, have called for him to be canceled over that specific thing. And it's like, you know, this isn't even fucking the track team in a high school, where it's also weird, right? This is somebody who's punching somebody in the head and using their body to damage another person. And that's sort of how I feel about it. Simple as that.
I mean, listen, you got to be careful what you say. And Joel's right. You know, it is a touchy subject, you know, to discuss. And maybe you shouldn't have made those comments that saying if you're dumb and then you become transgender. I can understand why Fallon Fox would have a bit of an issue with that. You know what I'm saying? You're right, Lewis. I don't think a man that transfers and becomes a woman should be competing against other ladies in sports. That's what I think. But I think everything else is fair game. If they want to become a woman, they feel like a woman, then God bless them. Good for them. You know, I'll respect that. I'll call you, if you wanted to become Louise, I'll call you Louise all fucking day long. You know what I mean? You'd suit that name better, if I'm honest. But yeah, I've got no issue with it. Good for them. And I think the world should be inclusive, you know, because unfortunately there's a lot of the suicide rates against young transgender people is through the roof. I have a friend that transferred. Is that the right word? Transferred or became a woman?
No.
Crossed over, whatever. Did a fucking
transitioned.
Transitioned. There you go. Sorry, pardon me.
I was going to let you get away with it before. I was like, all right, they transferred.
transitioned, transferred, whichever one you want to use. They all fucking work. I transferred from a man to a woman. I transferred from a black shirt to a white shirt. It all fucking works.
I got a transfer in Dallas before I go to Jamaica on Monday. So
there you go. Exactly. You know, we're transferring. We're all transitioning. I'm aware of some of the issues, you know, because she explains it to me and I'm sensitive to it. So I think the world should be. But I will say, no, I agree. In sports, certainly mixed martial arts, to your point, in any sport, it's not fair. It's not fair because the body is still that of a man, right? And maybe after all the science and the hormones and all those types of things, maybe years later, it will be more similar to a woman's, maybe. But I would say initially, you know, they're competing on an unfair playing field, not trying to be saying anything nasty, you know. Any other doors should be open to them. Should be open to them.
Of course. It's a crazy time because, I mean, it's not that long ago. I think we've come a very, very long way with, like, acceptance. And maybe we live in big cities. You live in L.A., I live in New York, so it's probably a different story. We have a different perspective on this. But I'll tell you right now, you work in a fucking typically meat-heady industry, right? And, a typically, like, you know, big, rough and tough fucking... I think in MMA, it's become very accepting and very open-minded and pretty fucking woke overall when you really think, all things considered. But I think that this subject in particular... You know, you're talking about going in there and you're competing. The reason that you can't take testosterone is because it gives you an unfair advantage. And it's a very similar thing. This person has naturally more testosterone. And I know that they take estrogen and there's different levels, but you're not going to just... You've just spent years and years of your life, being this dude and being a man and building this muscle and building these thick fucking, hands and shoulders and waist. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, transition.
Brian, when you were off making a coffee, Brian had actually an interesting point, which I was unaware of. Brian, come on and explain this. And by the way, I, again, I am all for transgender rights and acceptance and everybody, the world living peacefully in harmony and all that good stuff. Unfortunately, that's not the world we live in now. But Brian, what was your example?
So we have this rapper from England, and his name is Zuby, and he identified as a woman for this lift, which crushed the English powerlifting.
He doesn't look like a woman.
Record.
He needs to work on his makeup.
I know, Zuby. No, he did it as a troll. So Bisping, what he did was, as a troll, he just said, he entered this competition, said, yeah, I'm a woman, and they can't ask any questions because that's what the laws are. He broke the record and then transitioned back to a man and sold an album. It was sort of a publicity stunt. And he does it every year. He goes back and keeps on beating the record every year.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's hilarious.
It's pretty funny. It's also a little bit insulting. I mean, there's many words you could throw it that way, but it's curious, isn't it, that he's allowed to do that? But as you say, if you say you identify as something, it can't be challenged these days.
Well, it's not so much like, yes, I understand how that, if you're either a transgendered person or a person that's for trans rights, if you're insulted by it, you have to look at sort of the system which enables him to do it. And that's sort of the point that he's making. And that's the conversation that he starts. We follow each other on Twitter. He's a very interesting character, Zuby. Right. Zuby Music on Twitter.
Zuby. I've never heard of him, but Zuby's out there doing some work. Let me tell you this, though. Transgender, no problem whatsoever. Gay, no problem whatsoever. Straight, no problem whatsoever. Couldn't care less. Male, female. But you're one or the other. There's about 17,000 fucking genders out there. If you fucking identify as something crazy, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you the time of day on that one. I'm going to say you need to see a doctor. You're out of your fucking mind. If you say, what are some of the weird examples that they have? Some people, I identify now as a seal. Well, tough shit. Furries. See you fucking later. A what? Brian?
Furries? People who identify as furry stuffed animals.
Ah, okay. Like, yeah. Harrington could identify as a furry stuffed animal. And I'd say, do you know what? That's actually accurate. You do look like a little furry stuffed animal, Harrington. Very much a teddy bear-esque quality to you.
By the way, Harrington, side note, I know you're not going to care, but we can quick hit it for a second. I want to bring it up. Harrington entered Rough and Rowdy.
Manhood?
entered manhood. No, he entered Barstool Sports Rough and Rowdy. He put in an application yesterday, so he's trying to box in like 3 weeks at this silly event.
Oh, All right, Harrison. Well, good luck. Good luck. Hopefully we get to see it. How many people are going to enter that? Barstools is a big, it's yeah, a big it's platform. So I'm assuming there's going to be tons of people sending. So what do you do for that? Do you send in like a video of yourself going in like an audition tape? Hi, guys. I'm Harrington. Record of 1-0 on a floating platform against a comedian. I'm the producer on the Believe in Me podcast, Gaz Digital. I'm accepting of any kind of sexual genders, and I have a fixation with Luis J. Gomez. Is that what is? Was that you? Basically, your tape.
Well, no, I also sent in the highlight from Legion of Skanks. They asked for an audition tape, so I just sent in like the highlight from Legion of Skanks where I called out their champion for about 10 minutes. That was very fun.
That's probably a good tape, because on that tape, I think I remember like kind of a wild crowd. I mean, it's Legion of Skanks. You guys get a little rowdy. You know, I've seen Lewis rolling across the floor a few times in that environment.
That's right.
Yeah, tough guy. All right, Harrington, come on, let's go. What we got? Oh.
Okay, so Stephen A. Smith had this to say about the main event at UFC 260 over the weekend. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened in the UFC, because when you're heavyweight champion of the world and you come into the octagon with bad intentions like Mike Tyson did in boxing, like George Foreman did before him, that's the greatest thing for a pugilistic sport.
Okay. That's the greatest thing for the he's just fucking saying things. He's just like, hey, this week Stephen A. Smith said, and that's the great thing about pugilistic sports. Excuse me a second while I abandon the show, take my headphones off, turn around, literally turn your back on it and have a conversation with someone else there. We're doing a show, bro. We're fucking recording right now.
His mind's in rough and rowdy right now. His mind's in the fight. He can't produce.
I heard somebody coming up behind me and my fighting stick took over.
Oh,
no.
Spidey sense. Tingled.
So I wanted to see if you guys agree. Was that the greatest moment in UFC history when Francis Ngannou knocked out Stipe Miocic over the weekend?
No.
The greatest moment in what?
It was the greatest moment in Francis Ngannou's history. It was the greatest. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. It was excellent to see. I was very happy for Francis Ngannou. I was devastated for Stipe Miocic. It was epic, if you will. And it's what's going to be even more epic is the potential run of Francis Ngannou and the story from the rags to the riches and all the rest of it. But to say that was the one greatest singular moment in UFC history, I don't know if he did say that. Are you reading this correctly? Because, you know, we all know Stephen A. Smith goes out there, likes to get a headline. You know, she's probably saying it with a little bit of tongue in cheek. You know, he's probably just, you know, but it's a nice headline.
Yeah, I mean, that is the quote from Stephen A. Smith. Greatest thing that's ever happened to the UFC. So maybe he's not saying it's the greatest thing that's happened in UFC history, but the greatest thing that's happened for the UFC was that.
I mean, it doesn't have much more significance than any other changing of the title. I don't really see the point that it being this big significant moment for the UFC. Massive moment for Stipe or for Ngannou. Shitty moment for Stipe. I would say probably a low moment for Stipe, but I don't know.
Not the best.
Yeah, definitely not. It's not going to be in his personal highlight reel.
It's not in his top five. No, I think the point what Steven's making is that a lot of new fans are going to come on board. There's a real, not that Stipe wasn't a real heavyweight champ, but there's a killer as the heavyweight champ. There's a knockout artist as the heavyweight champ. There's a man that just has to touch you and you fall asleep. There's a man that if you look at him, he's fucking terrifying. He is terrifying. Like DC is a tough, hard bastard, right? And he was a two-weight division champion. But when you look at him as a casual fan, you don't go, what? I mean, you do if you know fighting. He's fucking got a head like a fucking fire hydrant. He's stocky as fuck. The man's a world-class wrestler. He can knock out Stipe. You should give him his respect. But if you know nothing about fighting, if you look at Francis Ngannou, you're like, whoa, I am not missing that guy's pay-per-view. And I think what he's saying is, they now have a Mike Tyson-esque guy that could maybe cross over into the mainstream. But, of course, we've had that before with Ronda Rousey. We had it with Conor McGregor, of course. Still got it with Conor McGregor. You know, so, yeah, I don't think it's the greatest moment, but I kind of see the point that he's making.
I'll say it right now, and I'm sort of blowing this horn a lot lately, And we'll see what happens with Jon Jones. I guess the jury's still out. But Jon Jones beats Ngannou. That is the moment, in my opinion, that Stephen A. Smith is describing right now, which is like a pivotal, massive moment for the UFC, for the sport. Because I do think that, and we'll see, the jury's still out on Ngannou. Because we got to remember, Ngannou doesn't have that sort of like, you know, personality and that crazy, like, outgoing thing that somebody like Connor has. I know you don't need it. I know. Yes, he's got that crazy knockout power, but I do think that they're, you know, look, if Jon Jones put that heavyweight strap around his waist, I think he takes the UFC and mixed martial arts to new heights. And the jury's out whether or not Ngannou is going to do that.
I think Ngannou, if he was to beat Jones or beat Lewis or beat whoever the contenders are, I think he's the guy to do that. Yeah, you're right. He has charisma. He has natural charisma, you know, in his own way. You know, certainly not a Conor McGregor. Pardon me. He's certainly not, you know, a big mouth. You know, he's not going to be cracking jokes at the press conferences. Not going to be turning around going, who the fuck is that guy? And coming out with these witty one-liners, you know what I mean? But still, he doesn't need to, you know. And I think, okay, with Mike Tyson, he was that kind of threat. But he, at the press conferences, he was always in controversy. Controversy followed Mike Tyson everywhere.
That was part of the appeal. Obviously, he was a crazy knockout artist, but that was, I think, one of the reasons as well why he was able to sort of capture everybody's minds, because he was terrifying.
But that's what I was going to say. And to a certain degree, same thing with Conor McGregor. You know, he's had his fair share of scandal. And what did he say? No such thing as bad press. You know, of course there is. But still, you know, the world's talking about you. And when the world's talking about you, you know, you that results to selling pay-per-views, money in your back pocket for the fighter and for the UFC. So anyway, but whatever, time will tell. Harrington, what else, bud?
All right, Bellator is targeting a Russian show to showcase Fedor versus Junior Dos Santos. First and foremost, gentlemen, are you excited for the fight? And secondly, who do you think wins?
I'm very excited for that fight. Really excited. Come on, Junior Dos Santos, Fedor Emelianenko, legends of the game. Fedor is, you know, he's a special kind of legend. You know, he's up there probably on the, what do they call it? The Mount Rushmore of MMA. Mm. You know, he's definitely a guy to put on there, maybe. Junior Dos Santos, who doesn't like Junior Dos Santos? The guy's an absolute class act. Tremendous fight career, former champion, nice guy, always got a smile. And fights, he brings it, you know. Who do I see winning? It's a tough fight for both of them. You know, it really is. They're both past the use by date, but no disrespect to either man. Tough fight to pick. I don't know. I mean, look at Fedor. Knocked out Rampage, so he's still got that power. You know, but who beat him? Oh, was it Ryan Bader? Ryan Bader beat him. I think he took him down and wrestled him a lot. Yeah. Still, I like it.
Yeah, that's it's a tough fight for both guys. And if this was 2 years ago, I would say that Dos Santos is going to kill Fedor. Going to kill him. But Dos Santos is on a 4-fight losing streak right now. And, you know, he's been knocked out. That's the reality. He's been knocked out a bunch. He's actually been knocked out 4 times in a row, TKO losses. So Fedor, he's got bombs. I don't think he has lost that power yet. He can hit you. If he clips you, he's going to knock you out. And, yeah, I think that I'm sort of leaning toward Fedor, which is even crazy for me to say that today in 2021 that I'd be leaning toward Fedor over Junior Dos Santos.
Well, not really. I mean, he did knock out Rampage. I mean, Rampage let himself get a little bit heavy and whatnot. And he was obviously fighting at heavyweight, but Rampage has never had any issues with his chin. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rampage isn't a guy that you've seen eating the canvas time and time again. Rampage was always one of the hardest hitting motherfuckers with a chin of granite. You know what I'm saying? And Fedor was able to do that. You know, so if you can knock out Rampage with respect to Junior Dos Santos, you can probably knock out Junior Dos Santos, a man that's been knocked out, as you say, in his last 4 fights in a row. I just hope that it's a while from now for Junior's health. You know what I mean? The longer goes by before that fight happening, the better it is for Junior. So, yeah, all right. That's an exciting matchup. Harrington?
All right. Got one more for you here. Aljamain Sterling had some thoughts on the rematch with Petr Yan. He said, any other sport, when you do something intentionally illegal, you get suspended, you get fined, you get ejected from the game. The guy's getting rewarded with a rematch, which I get is a big fight, but it's like, if we can just break the rules and nothing is ever going to happen. I can just jump the octagon and nothing is going to happen to me. I can go fight another corner or push Matt to the belt. Nothing's going to happen. So it's like, I feel like when you have rules for a reason, you have to enforce them, or otherwise let's just run it up. I feel like his ass should have been suspended or something. Pay me something for an illegal foul that could take years off of my career. Guys, do you agree? Is Petr Yan being unfairly rewarded with this rematch here? And does Aljamain Sterling have a case that there should be a fine in place for those kind of illegal fouls?
I understand why Aljamain's saying that. You know, one could, if you were on the defense side of Aljamain, make that case. You know what I mean? But if you're on the prosecution side, you'd say, get the fuck out of court, dickhead, because I did get penalized for it. I got disqualified. Do you know what I mean?
I lost my belt. You know,
yes, I am no longer the champion of the world.
You got the belt. You got the win bonus.
You got it, everything. Petr Yan got, you know, listen, it was an error of judgment. It was an accident. It was an intentional foul, whichever it was, right? Petr Yan was stripped. He wasn't stripped. He was disqualified and his belt was taken away. You know, I honestly feel that that's enough, you know? Yeah. And the rematch, I think, is the logical step. You know, I understand what Aljamain's saying. You know, you could argue that he's being rewarded, or you could just say, well, you did kind of win on a technicality. Let's run it back and allow you the opportunity to beat him fair and square and get your respect as a champion. Because if he just bypasses Petr Yan and starts defending against whoever, Sandhagen, whoever, TJ Dillashaw, whatever, people are still, there's always going to be that. There's always going to be, you know, MMA fans can be cruel motherfuckers. They're all going to say, you never beat Petr Yan. You're not the real champ. Kind of like DC with John Jones. That was a shitty situation for DC. No fault of his own. That would be a shitty situation for Aljamain Sterling. No fault of his own. However, they're not doing that. They're going to run it back. And to your point, or our point, or my point, yeah, Lewis, that's the right thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like Aljamain, and I want to...
Me too.
I don't want to shit on Aljamain Sterling here, okay? But...
I didn't.
You didn't. No, but I'm about to. So the reality is this. Like, look, by every metric, Petr Yan was punished. There's no metric in which he does not regret. He was winning the fight. He was winning the fight, okay? He fucked up, and he threw an illegal knee that, yes, could have caused you massive damage. Did it? I don't know. Is he claiming that he's taking years off his fight career? What are you even saying there? Like, did it or did it not? You're saying there would have, could have, you know, who, you know, that you can't really bring that up. He was stripped from his title. He lost his win bonus. You got everything. You got this title around your waist. You have an you have all of the accolades and the bonuses that come with being a champion, and now you have an immediate title shot again when you were more than likely going to lose that fight. You were getting your ass kicked in that fight. So you should be saying, all right, you know what? Fuck it, dude. You are the winner here. He comes out the winner here. Petr Yan doesn't come off like he, you know, he got away with cheating. No, he got fucked. You know, he didn't get fucked. He fucked himself, but now they're going to run it back. If I'm Aljamain Sterling, I mean, maybe he's going like, fuck, dude, I was really losing that fight. I really don't want that fight again right now. I want to go get more experience. I want to be able to come back and beat this guy. I know he's not consciously thinking that, but to even say these things, it kind of comes off as weak.
I hear what you're saying. And I think for Aljamain, he may be thinking, just to play devil's avocado for a second. By the way, we've got a devil's avocado shirt coming out as well. Whoa. But to play devil's avocado, he may be of the impression, well, hold on. He wasn't a long-term champion. It's not like he defended the belt on numerous occasions. He'd only just beaten Jose Aldo, and it was his first defense. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to see both sides. Maybe that's the way Aljamain's looking at it. But still, I still think, yeah, I just said it. He was already punished, and now you got to run the fight back. That's just the natural. That's the way shit goes down. Yeah. Talking of the way shit goes down, that is it. Apart from, Harrington's got one more now.
Well, yeah, I had one more thing. It's not MMA related necessarily, but I was at Lewis's house yesterday and his girlfriend told me that he's only instant coffee. So I was wondering, guys, what do you think? Should I return Lewis's birthday present of an actual coffee maker and just get him an instant kettle? Like an electric kettle. Is that better than
a coffee maker?
You want the coffee maker?
Hold on. I missed the start. So Lewis got you that Black & Decker coffee maker.
No, I got this for Lewis for his birthday because he doesn't have a coffee
maker right now. Nice.
But his girlfriend said you're going straight instant coffee now. So
I do a lot of instant coffee lately, which I really enjoy.
I actually really enjoy. I have one of those pod machines, right? And they're too strong. They're too strong because I like a lot of coffee. The instant coffee is weaker. I was raised on instant coffee. I think the most of the UK, unless you're a little bit posh, certainly up north, like you fucking Nescafe. That's it. One little bit in, pour a bit of
water. That's what I have, Nescafe. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's good. I was fucking raised on that. I don't know about raised, but as a teenager, I was drinking it. And the good stuff is good, but it's a little too strong. It makes me a little nauseous. After multiple cups. Right. Brian,
I got Lewis a much more functional present. You can figure out what that is eventually.
What is that?
I know exactly what that is.
Yeah, dog.
I know exactly what that is.
Can I know what it is? Can the people know? Can the hundreds of thousands and the one person in Uganda, can we know?
It's Lewis's favorite comedian in a magazine.
Neighbor guys, Patrice O'Neill in a bag.
Wait, what is it?
Patrice O'Neill in a bag.
I thought it was honestly Blue Chews because that's what the Blue Chew package looks like. No, to your door.
a very funny lady you're a fan of was recently in a magazine.
Oh, nice. Nice.
What?
I'll tell you later, Bispin.
All right, this is a great podcast. In secrets between the hosts and the producers. All right, Brian, I think we've got two questions to finish off with. Yeah, ask away.
All right, so this one came in over email, and I will give you the guy's name in just a second, but he asks, Michael Bisping, would you give up your full head of hair to get your eye back? And Lewis, would you give up your eye for a full head of hair?
Solid question.
I like it. I'm going to give you some advice, Lewis, right? Before you answer yours. There's a theory out there amongst a lot of ladies. They say the eye looks badass. You know what I mean? They like the eye, and the hair is always a go-to. But I'll say this.
A lot of ladies like bald men.
They do. Listen, I had a shaved head for many years. I will shave my head. I will lose the hair to give me my eye back, because if I had my eye back, I'd be back in the octagon, and I'd be cracking some skulls. So, yeah, for sure.
205-pound champion at this point.
I can make 185 again, but 205 would be easier. I'll be the 205-pound champ.
More comfortable than 205.
I'll be a fat bastard with a shaved head and two eyes. Lewis, would you give up your eye to have a head of hair?
No way. First of all, I like my bald head. I look better with bald head than I had when I had hair. I used to have like really curly, kind of shitty hair. I didn't like my hair. So, I like having two eyes. I mean, look, having one eye is badass. A lot of people say it's better. But, you know, I'll keep this.
Having one eye is a pain in the fucking ass. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now, because there's zero depth perception. Like yesterday, I went fishing again, right? And trying to thread the line through the holes and the reel and all that shit. With one eye, it's hard. It's difficult. And it's
you got to watch it. You got to watch out for people casting. If that hook hits your other eye, you're in trouble.
Oh, no, for sure. When I'm running along, when I'm running down trails and stuff, or even on the estate, on the neighborhood, there's like a tree or whatever. Yeah. I always have to like put my arms out and close my eyes as I run through, because I'm like, one might just slice my eye and then I'm actually blind. And that's not good for anybody.
You're literally one stick whipping you in the eye away from being completely blind.
Yes. And I don't want that, believe it or not. Brian, what's the next one?
So this is part two from the same person.
And what's his name? Do we have the name?
Teg Cross. And here's the second part of their question. If you could get anything you wanted, $1 billion, a Learjet, etc., but you had to be a 5-foot man for the rest of your life, would you take it?
Never in a million fucking years. No offense to all those 5-footers out there. Shout out, 5-foot club in the house. Bam, 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 bam. But you're on your own. Mikey B's not joining. My wife can't stand shorter guys. 5-foot, wouldn't have a look in.
Yeah.
Lewis?
A billion Learjet? Dollars.
$1 billion?
Yeah, 100%. Are you kidding? A billion? A billion dollars? A billion dollars? Yeah, I'd be dating some 4'10" bitches. And more, a lot of them. They're hot on my jet, on my fucking yacht. $1 billion is so much fucking money. Like, it is.
But you can't buy certain things. I mean, you can get some of those shoes.
You can buy stilts.
Platform in them. Fuck stilts. You're going to look like an idiot. You're not going to pull no chicks. Even those little short ones aren't going to like you on stilts. They're like, oh, look at him. He's not one of us. He's ashamed. He won't even join the club. He's walking around on stilts. What a dickhead.
I'll pay all my friends to walk around on their knees.
Sell out. You'd sell your height for $1 billion. So would I, probably. Let's be honest.
Let's get real.
Let's get real. All right. Anyway, that's it. I'm off to Santa Monica in a little bit. Where are you going? What are you doing for your birthday?
What's the celebration? Here, but Monday we leave for Jamaica.
Right about now.
We're going to do a pre-tape on Sunday for Monday's show. And then, I'm in Jamaica next week with the family. The whole family trip. 8 of us going. Got the villa. Got the private chef. Got the little private private beach, pool. It's going to be a good time.
Hark at this guy. Look at him. The real ass Puerto Rican rattlesnake. Not no more. He's dead and buried. This is highfalutin.
Not highfalutin.
Money tooting. Jacuzzi right about knowing. You're not in Jamaica, man, with the family. But until then, until Sunday, look after yourselves. Have a good weekend. I'm going to bust Lewis's balls on how high class he's becoming on Sunday night. We'll see you then.
Of course. Goodbye.